Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
In your company, a challenge? Are you battling turnover and struggling to draw key talent? Is your team not performing at the level you want? Problems present themselves through conflict, miscommunication, creative differences, unclear expectations, and motivational issues. ARC Integrated is here to address these challenges through executive coaching and customized interactive trainings. Create lasting positive change that will improve your bottom line and create a culture that attracts talent and reduces turnover by going to arcintegrated.com. That's arcintegrated.com.
What if investing in each other could change the world? I'm Joel Skeen with BizRadio.us, and this is the Mindful Marketplace. I love it when I get to pick up where we left off, and we have a wonderful part two of our discussion with Barry Ryan and Amy Bastian from NC Idea. If you don't know what NC Idea is, or you missed part one of this episode, please go back onto, you can check this out either on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Music, anywhere you get your podcasts, please go back and take a listen to part one of this conversation, where we really discuss the history, how NC Idea supports the entrepreneurial and startup business ecosystem throughout the entire state of North Carolina, and really the good that they're doing by creating a more resilient, a more local, and a more inclusive and, you know, connected, really communal business community here within the state. So I'm excited to welcome them back. First, I do want to just let you guys know, I've mentioned this before, but Mindful Marketplace is now hosting a monthly event called the Community Financial Education Course. Sorry about that. The Community Financial Education Course, which is designed to help and support not only local business owners, but also just local families who want to learn really the stuff they should have taught us in school about money, about how to be good with money, about how to be successful with money. We cover topics like financial literacy, you know, budgeting and taxes and all that kind of stuff. We also cover things like debt, things like entrepreneurship, and a lot of other topics that really can help support everyone who listens to the show. Community investing is another topic we're going to cover. And really the goal of it is to create a community, but it's also to educate and to let you ask questions with a Q&A panel from a variety of different financial professionals. Because that does seem to be a need that I've noticed in the business community here. Is it's wonderful to be able to get a grant, to be able to get funding, or to be able to buy a home, or be able to get a new job. But we're also talking about how do you manage that money for your own goals in the future. So these are free events, but there is a limited space, and so we do require registration. So go to mindfulmarketplaceshow.com and click on the events tab to check out when the next one is and to get registered for that. So I'm just going to jump right back in here with my conversation about with Barry and Amy. We in the first episode, we talked a little bit about the history of NC Idea. We talked about how they have helped really support the entrepreneurial ecosystem throughout the state. And really just had a good conversation. So again, go back and listen to that. But welcome back, guys. I want to start the second half here by asking you a little bit about the actual grants that you have given. So I know that there's kind of a couple different kinds of grants that you've given to startups and entrepreneurs. And I'm wondering if you could kind of tell us about those, and what the differences are.
Sure. So, NC Idea, for its first 9-ish years of existence in terms of giving out grants, had this seed grant, $50,000 grants to startups with high growth potential. And that was NC Idea's offering. We also were a smaller staff at that point. And we still have our seed grants. We have two cycles a year, spring and fall. And so these are for companies that have high growth potential, which the way we describe that is companies that have a kind of a unique value proposition and ideally in a growing market, a good team that will be a multi-million dollar, employ 50 people or more, or kind of be like venture backable along that path. We are industry agnostic though. So those companies are very different, very, very different. And then, you know, along the way we realized while we're giving grants to those companies, we're seeing some companies, maybe certain types of founders or certain industries where, or from certain parts of the state where, you know, they were not ready for the, not as competitive for seed, but you know, if they had say $10,000 to kind of just work on some proof of concept, some other early stage like validity for their business model, they could be competitive for seed. So Micro was born and piloted in spring 2018, right before I started. And then we rolled it out as a regular grant for founders in 2019. And again, we say that Micro and seed run like clockwork. We have a spring cycle, we have a fall cycle every year. We give out about 15 micro grants each cycle and about 6 seed grants each cycle. So one of the things when we're, you know, vetting applications from roughly about 150 companies for micro and then 150 for seed each cycle is not only, you know, are the companies eligible? Are they competitive? But also, like, is now the cycle? Is it spring 2023 that this company is really ready to leverage the grants? And for both, they are they're business competitions. So, you know, these aren't companies just like, you know, researching an idea. They really have plans to move their business ideas forward.
Yeah, Barry, anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, one thing and that I think is really unique about our grant programs is just how they're serving entrepreneurs and providing access to a resource that isn't available from other organizations. In our previous conversation, we talked a lot about that ecosystem and how we're investing in what works and going to organizations that are leaders in their communities. And I think this is a perfect example of how NC Idea can add value to an ecosystem through these grant-making programs. There are a lot of programs helping businesses get access to capital through loans, helping them build up their capacity and extend their runway through investments. But these grants are non-dilutive equity opportunities for a business to really get access to the type of capital that they otherwise most likely wouldn't. Part of our philosophy in our grant making is making sure we reach underserved populations. So that's female entrepreneurs, that's entrepreneurs of color, and that's entrepreneurs that are located in a rural area. What we know from our research is that the person who's most likely to become a successful entrepreneur is someone who's already been an entrepreneur or someone who has a close family or friend, close family member or friend who's been an entrepreneur. So those access to those types of networks are critical. And typically that also means access to folks that will invest in your business and or financially back your business. And so when we want to bring equity into the space of entrepreneurial opportunity, we know that bringing our grant capital that's awarded and distributed not only through a competitive lens, but a lens looking at equitable access helps to improve that landscape, right? It levels the playing field and it creates opportunity where it otherwise wouldn't exist. So it's a really nice complement to any ecosystem in which we're working.
And I was just going to add on to Barry, one thing, you know, when we started the micro grant, we ran it like the seed grant. In many ways it does, an application cycle, adding reviewers, so on and so forth. But for our seed grantees, we meet with them, you know, a number of times during their check-in. We give introductions to them, you know, to resources they need, but that was kind of it, because a lot of times they've have a supporting community already. They've maybe been through an accelerator or something else. They have, you know, they have a network. We can help expand that, but they've kind of got the basics down. And they may have other, you know, founders to kind of support them along their way. We found out for our micro grantees after, I think it was pretty clear after like the first or second cycle that while the founders were really happy to have the $10,000 to, you know, kind of validate something about their business, they also needed support around customer discovery and kind of a cohort support and just more interaction with NC Idea in our network. So we now have 8 weeks of programming that's delivered virtually to our micro grantees. We piloted it during COVID in 2020, and it's only further been refined. And I think it's just really, really impactful. So I just wanted to add that. That's something that we learned along the way of, okay, the funding is fine, but especially for very early stage companies. It is those connections, those network, that support system. And, you know, a lot of that support system, if they haven't, you know, already been connected to one of our partners, when we get to know them through micro, we make those introductions, you know, so they have, we have local support for them, or just like industry specific or kind of similar founder support that really helps them a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it totally makes sense, because a local or a startup business, there's so many things that need to be there. Resources, you know, obviously the funding is a huge part. So many people can't start a business in a large part because they don't have access to the capital, but they may not also have access. You know, some of us are fortunate enough to have connections and resources that other people don't. And the funding is such a big piece of that, but I love that you guys are focusing on not just that and really taking a more holistic approach in this quest that you mentioned in the last episode to really support entrepreneurship as an equitable development strategy. You know, we had on Bruce Waller from Black Wall Street as one of our more recent guests here, and he was talking about how what that experience is like as a Black entrepreneur of having to start things without really having that same kind of network and influence that other communities may have. And I know that you guys put a large focus on that, especially with the NC Black Entrepreneurial Council. I'm wondering if you could shed a little light on what that council is, how it operates, and, you know, kind of the why behind it.
So in 2020, the North Carolina Black Entrepreneurship Council was formed. We, NCIDS, I think really since around 2016, had been looking at its grant making all its activities through a more equitable lens. NCIDS, we have a put at least 50% of our resources towards under-resourced and underserved entrepreneurs, the groups that Barry was describing earlier, but specifically wanting to really learn how best to support Black entrepreneurs in the state. Organization formed the Black Entrepreneurship Council, which I think originally had 25 members. Is that right, Barry?
That sounds about right.
About Black leaders across the state who really would guide grant making as they kind of best saw fit to support Black entrepreneurship, with NCID being there to support, to provide kind of some of the structure around that grant making. So the first year it was decided to have an ecosystem style grant, like an NCID ecosystem grant, supporting organizations that are supporting Black founders. The next year we actually had a grant, the Black Entrepreneurship Council wanted to support startups directly. So we awarded 7 grants to past C-Grant recipients of Black-led companies. We called it a growth grant. So the largest grants to startups that NCID had ever given, $75,000. The real goal there being ensuring that companies, Black-led companies that are looking for funding or looking to grow, have a harder time with access to capital. They are often met with higher kind of requirements of, you know, whether it's revenue or other milestones to be hit versus say for other types of companies with non-Black founders. So we provided these $75,000 growth grants so that these companies could get further along. So if they did, you know, raise funds, they'd have better valuations. So more, you know, equity kept by the founders. And then just recently, the North Carolina Black Entrepreneurship Council this year decided to support HBCUs with grants. So those grants were just announced, right, Barry, in I think December. So that's why the North Carolina Black Entrepreneurship Council was formed, of just NCID was able to provide funding and then kind of support the process under the direction of what the council thinks really we should try, you know, in the state to support Black entrepreneurship.
Yeah, just to give a specific example of those, that initial round of ecosystem grants supported by the Black Entrepreneurship Council. One of the projects that it supported was Grind Asheville and the Black Wall Street Asheville movement. So that's Jay Hackett, that's Bruce Waller, and the whole movement that they're building in Asheville to help build more equitable access to entrepreneurship. So that was one of the projects that the Black Entrepreneurship Council supported, and we're really proud of the work that we're doing. In fact, so proud, we invited Jay Hackett to come and speak this past fall at our annual Ecosystem Summit. So this is a statewide gathering of over 500 leaders that support entrepreneurship across North Carolina. And Jay was amazing enough to serve on a panel for us and talk about the great work that he's leading in the Asheville region. And I'll say from folks that were observing this from a statewide perspective, he really blew them away, right? Telling the story of making a difference in people's lives, giving folks access to opportunity that they never thought they had. And so that story is one that we want to continue to tell. It's one that we want to lift up because we've talked before in our previous conversation here about how we're really building a movement, and we're trying to lift up entrepreneurship as that strategy that brings true equity to economic development opportunity. And we do that through investing in companies. We do it through investing in organizations that are really supporting this type of ecosystem and this type of access. So that's just one example of the Black Entrepreneurship Council's investment in a really amazing project.
Well, and I think that there's definitely something to that. When I was talking with Jeff in a previous episode, Jeff Kaplan of Venture Asheville, we were talking about how entrepreneurship really does seem to be this path to freedom, financial freedom, and you know, there's some other forms too. I think once you get financially free, a lot of times you can then focus on the psychological or physical or spiritual freedom. But that it's really difficult to do that if you're kind of stuck, and that more and more people nowadays are finding entrepreneurship to be that path to actually allowing them to sort of get ahead, you know, as the economy has changed and that deal that was struck, I don't know, you know, back, I'm not sure, in the post-war time where it's like, hey, get a job, work for a company for 40 years and, you know, retire into the sunset. Doesn't really seem to be, it seems to be less and less available as time goes on. And having this path of entrepreneurship seems to be one of the, you know, I mean, it's the path I took. It's the path a lot of other people take to actually try to create a different situation and get ahead. And, you know, it obviously takes more than just funding. You can't just throw money at an entrepreneur and, you know, wish them luck and, you know, wait for your return and wait for them to go out and be some huge success. It takes ongoing effort. It takes ongoing support. And, you know, I think that's where you guys are really strong at too, is you also have these additional programs that really connect and help support those entrepreneurs in that process. I'm curious if you could tell me a little bit about them. I know you have the Ideas Lab, the Mindset Program, the Engage Program, the Summit Program. You know, we may not have time to go over all of them, but I'm curious for you guys as to what's your favorite or what's one of your favorite stories you've seen come out of those programs.
I'll quickly just mention Engage. So we sometimes say that Engage is to ecosystem like micro is to seed, if we're doing comparisons in the sense of, you know, we expect some of our micro grantees, if they're able to prove out what they're looking to prove, you know, about their business idea, will go on to be competitive for seed in future cycles. We'd say usually within 2 years is what we look for. So I feel like Engage is similar program in the sense that these are Engage, we $5,000 to $10,000 grants, as Barry said earlier, you know, supporting a standalone activity or a series of activities, bringing people together in some way around entrepreneurship. So it's often through these grants that that our colleague Sarah Mixter leads that we get to know an organization, or maybe it's a person. So maybe we didn't know them, but we're like, oh, they're doing really, really great work, you know, this part of the state or this community. And when we have our ecosystem grant cycles roughly every 2 years, it may be then that or this organization, this person, and, you know, we could see them applying for an ecosystem grant, but we've worked with them before, you know, so that we have a sense of how they could spend, you know, a much larger budget effectively to, you know, support entrepreneurship in the state.
Yeah, it sounded like from your presentation that I got to see at 1 Million Cups. And if you're in Asheville, go check out 1 Million Cups. It's every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. at the Hatch co-working building. It's a great, great event. You get to hear from some wonderful people. And it sounded like you guys have people sometimes that apply for a grant that maybe aren't at the right stage or the right fit, but they still get some kind of support. They still get engaged, and then they move to that point in the next grant cycle. Is that right?
Definitely. And one of the not totally unique, but kind of unique about our grants for Micro and Seed is that there's feedback even to everyone who applies. It's not just a, sorry, you didn't advance to the next round. You know, there's usually a couple reviews from staff, from, you know, external reviewers, subject matter experts, who, you know, give some feedback. We ask our reviewers to give constructive feedback so that whether a company was to advance to the next stage or to maybe apply again in 6 months, what should they be working on? So that is, we've heard from so many founders, just getting some insight, getting some feedback, getting some ideas was so critical, not just a nope, you know, you didn't advance. So that is something that we believe in strongly.
Yeah, Joel, another program that I'd like to mention is we talk about, especially those entrepreneurs that may be on their way to becoming competitive for one of our grants, is our Ice House Entrepreneurship Program. Ice House was originally developed a number of years back when our president and CEO, Tom Rue, was vice president of entrepreneurship at the Kauffman Foundation. They supported and the development of a curriculum called the Ice House Entrepreneurship Program, which really supports building the entrepreneurial mindset in a whole variety of audiences. This can be used in a K-12 setting, university setting, workforce development setting. And that's where we have some really great partnerships going on in the region. Mountain Area Workforce Development Board, the small business centers, both at AB Tech and Blue Ridge Community College, working to support entrepreneurs and bring this curriculum to help bring that entrepreneurial mindset, critical thinking, problem solving, teamwork skills, into a whole range of folks that need access to this type of training. And we know this type of training, like you were mentioning earlier, gets them access to entrepreneurship as an entrepreneur opportunity to build wealth and really grow opportunity in their lives. So we're really excited about that partnership. Wish we had more time to share some specific examples. We've got a couple of cool stories to tell of clients we've worked with, but really glad to be with you today. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really glad to have you guys on. I want to also kind of let people know, if you are an entrepreneur out there and you're in that startup phase and you either are ready to grow or you're ready to just get started, how could someone connect with you guys in the best way to kind of either get engaged or actually make an application in the next grant round?
So right now, if you go to ncidea.org, there's a big orange bar across the top. It says learn more about our spring grant cycle. So click that button, ton of resources that are really, even if you're not ready to apply now, there's a, you know, again, a grant, a really large amount of resources. And then secondly, if you go to ncidea.org and there's like the hamburger menu, those three lines, there's a list of our partners. There are great organizations across the state helping entrepreneurs in a variety of different ways. So I just always encourage people to check out that list, as well as their small business centers and the SBTDCs.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being on here. And for all of you listening out there, you can check out this episode as well as plenty of others. And also check out other hosts from BizRadio US. Go to bizradio.us. You can also connect with me at mindfulmarketplaceshow.com. And like I said, click on that events tab to see an event coming up that you might be able to benefit from. Thank you guys so much for being on. And until next time, everyone, you take care of yourself and take care of someone else.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.